May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us. Although my text this morning is an Advent pericope, I hope to show its propriety for the Easter season. That text is Romans chapter 13, verse 14, which reads, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not make provision for the flesh to gratify its cravings." That is the text. Most of us are too theologically sophisticated even to recognize the possibility of a couple of seeming paradoxes this text poses. The first paradox is the relationship between this text and Jesus' directive in the Sermon on the Mount, "Take no thought for your body what ye shall put on." But this morning we hear Jesus telling us, through his writer, St. Paul, about an apparent exception to this rule, when he urges us to put on our body the Lord Jesus Christ. The second paradox seems to arise within the text itself. Right after urging us to provide for the flesh by clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, the text cautions us not to make provision for the flesh. The text seems to take away with its left hand what it has just given us with its right hand. Well, by now, you theologically sophisticated people in the audience are getting restless. Doesn't the speaker realize that the word flesh in the text is not referring to the human body at all, but rather refers to the body of sin? You see, flesh in the Bible can mean either of two things: ordinary flesh or theological flesh. It can mean flesh in the sense of avoirdupois, weight, pounds, fat, that sort of thing. Or it can mean flesh in the sense of sinful nature, old man, old Adam. And everyone here knows that our text is talking about the latter kind of flesh, flesh in the sense of sinful human nature. Really, quite elementary. Yet, it's not quite that simple. The Greek word sarx in our text can refer to both kinds of flesh. The very fact that a pun or a mistake is possible testifies to the complexity and depravity of our human makeup since the coming of sin into the world. Shakespeare's funny fat man, Falstaff, tries facetiously to account for his egregiously bad behavior by quipping, "Thou seest I have more flesh than another man, and therefore more frailty." But most of us find out to our dismay that the confusion is no laughing matter. It's difficult. It's difficult to isolate theological flesh from ordinary flesh, even in the ordinary activities of eating, sleeping, making love, and playing sports. Sin seems to sneak into every one of these bodily functions. Haven't you noticed how sometimes you are haunted by an inexplicable feeling of guilt, even after your most innocent participation in these bodily activities? To distinguish between the human body and the body of sin is not like the simple process of cutting an apple in two. It's more like trying to separate cream from coffee once the two have been poured together. So, while our text is obviously not talking about diet and dress when it urges us, do not make provision for the flesh, neither are these matters entirely out of court. At any rate, do not make provision for the flesh is a fortunate translation. Because what is that translation suggesting? It's saying, don't feed your sinful nature. Don't look out for its welfare. Don't provide for its wants. Don't accommodate your body of sin. For example, if you're the kind of person who can't stop after a couple of drinks, then stay away from the bars. If you can't avoid glancing at your classmates' adjacent test answers, then move to the back of the classroom. If you have sticky fingers, don't let yourself be elected treasurer of your group. If you're plagued with filthy thoughts, don't watch a beauty contest. And if you frequently lose your temper at bridge, you might consider giving up cards. Do not make provision for the flesh. But let's face it, that's easier said than done. There's no use belaboring the fact by marshaling the empirical evidence that most of us, too much of the time, pamper and coddle our sinful nature. We don't just succumb to the flesh. We actually make provision for the flesh. So we need help. Well, that's where the Easter gospel begins to come in. St. Paul reminds us in this very same letter to the Romans that Christ's bodily resurrection has brought about a spiritual resurrection in us. In his words, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, the flesh, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Immersing ourselves in Christ's death and resurrection, or to use the metaphor of our text, clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, will begin to enable us not to make provision for the flesh. Being risen with Christ will initiate setting our affection on things above. Oh, we can't let go of Easter that easily. Because ultimately, Easter is not about flesh in the sense of sinful nature and the body of sin. It's about flesh in the avoirdupois sense of the word. The flesh that aches after a workout and glows after a shower and feels better after a meal and a good night's sleep. Christ rose in the flesh, let us remember. And by doing that, he guaranteed us a physical resurrection too. Because he rose from the grave, we're going to rise from the grave also. Like Job, we know that after worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. And here's a twist for you. Here is a twist. By his resurrection from the dead, Christ, in a sense, and most certainly not in the sense our text is talking about, Christ, in a sense, made provision for the flesh. I mean flesh in the ordinary human body sense of the term. His triumph over the grave has made provision for our flesh for all eternity. Our bodies will rise and live with God forever. The same resurrection of Christ that enables us not to make provision for the flesh in the sinful nature sense of the term, makes provision for the flesh in the human body sense of the term. Now, isn't that something? Amen. We continue with prayer.